We read together that psalm of which we just sang, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. This is the word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. The portion of God's word that we consider this morning is verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times in the life of a congregation in which, in a very powerful way, God works to direct our hearts and our minds and our souls to meditate even more strongly upon God, upon Christ our Savior, and upon the hope that we have of heaven. Now is one of those times for us as a congregation. As we think about in this past week the work of God to deliver from this earthly life into the realm of glory, our fellow member in this church and family member of some in our congregation, Cody DeBoer, we recognize that through this God works powerfully. I could not help but be struck by that in this past week. God was at work in unbelievably powerful ways, certainly in Cody, giving perfect peace as he knew very soon his life on this earth would come to an end. God was at work in many other ways too, and it's something that kept coming back to me in this past week, and that was this, that though in the face of loss, the face of separation, the face of the pulling apart of an earthly tie, and that's exactly what happened this past week. At the same time, God binds closer. He binds us in the face of that loss and separation closer to himself. And he binds us closer together as a family and as a congregation. He works even in the face of death and loss and separation. Now, to bring it into the context of Psalm 27, this desire even more strongly in our hearts. As we sit here this morning, understanding the reality that our life here on this earth is but an earthly pilgrimage, and in the grand scheme of things, very, very short. As we sit here this morning, understanding the reality even more of sin and guilt and death and the grave. But in the context of that, we direct our eyes upon God right now, and God works through that so that this is our desire. And even stronger through the circumstances of this week, so that we sit here this morning in the house of God and we say, oh God, this is our desire. One thing have I desired, and this I'm going to pursue all the days of my life, to dwell in thy house. God has granted that desire for us this morning so that we come together in the very best place we could be, in the house of God. And one day, God will grant that desire for us as He granted it for Cody this past week, to dwell in the true house of God. Now, in the truest sense of the word, all the days of his life, that is, eternity. Call your attention to this passage this morning under the theme, desiring to dwell in the house of the Lord. We consider the 2 points, the meaning of those words and then the purpose, as David expresses it at the end of this verse. Desiring to dwell in the house of the Lord, the meaning and the purpose. The circumstances in which David wrote Psalm 27 are clear. Although we cannot identify precisely the time at which he penned these words under the Spirit's inspiration, nevertheless, we understand very clearly what David was going through at the time that he wrote Psalm 27. It was a very difficult time in David's life. David wrote these words at a time in his life when he was being oppressed on every side by the enemies that sought to take his life. And that's why he begins the psalm the way that he does. The theme of the entire psalm, with those very well-known words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," and why he can immediately follow that with these questions. Questions that we don't have to go searching for the answers for. Questions not that it may be this or it may be that, but questions that are rhetorical. We know what the answers are. Of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? David knows he has nothing and no one to fear because the Lord is his light and salvation. It's in that context, that of being surrounded by enemies who are seeking to take his life, that he writes the words of this text. One thing have I desired of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And beloved, that is what makes these words very pertinent for us this morning. Yes, it's true that there will be a time in our lives when, in a literal sense, what David was experiencing will be our experience, as it is for others in the world today, when there will be enemies literally around us, in a physical sense, attempting to take our lives, as it was for David at this time. But that's not the main point of the text. We read this text in the light of the New Testament, and when we read about the enemies that David speaks of all throughout the psalm, encamping around him, seeking through war to take his life, we know that for us, first of all, that refers to the spiritual enemies that seek our spiritual destruction. And it's for that reason that these words so powerfully apply to us this morning, because here we sit, understanding the reality that every single day of our lives we have these enemies that seek to destroy us. We have this sinful flesh that clings to us on this side of the grave that is always working, always trying to manipulate our minds so that we walk in the ways of sin. And then we have this world around us and the devil who knows our sinful flesh and plays off of it in order to lead us in those same ways of sin. And then the devil who is that accuser, the slanderer, the one who takes the sin that we commit and he says, or tries to say in our hearts, "You, a child of God, with that sin and that guilt that clings to you." And then there is that enemy that at certain times in our lives stares us straight in the face. That last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15 says, is the enemy of death. But in the face of these enemies, we say this morning what David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that is to dwell in the house of Jehovah." One of the most striking features of this text is the fact that David says this is the one desire of his heart. And he strengthens that when he says later in the text that he desires all the days of his life to dwell in the house of the Lord. That indicates how strong this desire of David was. What you want to do every single day, that's where your heart is. That's where your desire is. That's what you pursue and seek in your life. And for David, it was this: I want to be in God's house. We know that though that is our desire, those same enemies of which I just spoke are the very enemies that try to work in our hearts all sorts of other desires. And every one of us sitting here this morning, as we sit here on this side of the grave, readily understand that as we think about those enemies, as we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, as we find ourselves at times in the darkest moments in our lives, the devil is at work to say, "This should be your desire. Go pursue this. Go seek after that." And fill in the blank for whatever it is for you in your life and for what it is in my life. But in the end, we always know this: that if you pursue and you seek and you desire anything but dwelling in the house of the Lord, that is to say, anything but God Himself, you will never find safety. You will never find comfort. You will never find peace. But that's not our focus this morning. Our focus is this: the fact that God does work this desire in our hearts. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But is it there? Absolutely. And God uses the circumstances of our lives, and God uses the words of Scripture during our lives, and yes, God chiefly uses the preaching of the gospel in order to work this desire in our hearts. For David, it was the desire to be in the house of Jehovah. Now, for David in the Old Testament, that meant that he desired to be in Jerusalem, in the tabernacle of God, and later, for the people of God in the Old Testament, that would be the temple. For us in the New Testament, our desire is to be here. Right now, as we sit here in the house of God, and it's not the building as we know, although we're very thankful for the building. In the Old Testament, in the times of types and shadows, there was special significance to the structure itself. That's not our focus, but it's what's going on here. We want to be in the house of the Lord because when we're in the house of the Lord, we are gathered with the people of God. And we are sitting at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to hear the preaching of the gospel. But in the end, the desire of the psalmist here reaches beyond this world into what is the true house of Jehovah. For David, it was the tabernacle. For us right now, the earthly fulfillment is the house of God for worship. But understand, in the Old Testament, when they had that tabernacle in the Old Testament, that was but a picture, ultimately, of the life that God gave with His people in heaven. And the Bible makes that very clear when it says, for example, in John chapter 14, the words of Jesus Christ to His disciples and to His church, verses 1 through 4, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may go also." Father's house. House of Jehovah in Psalm 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Yes, we have this earthly tabernacle, but it's going to be dissolved, and it refers to the building of God. That building of God in heaven is the house of Jehovah in Psalm 27, verse 4. And then the clearest explanation of this, which uses the very word tabernacle itself, is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Beloved, when we take on our lips the words of David in this psalm and say, "This is my singular desire in my life. This is what I'm going to seek after. This is what I'm going to pray to God for. It's especially this, that I may be here, but that one day I will be where there is the reality, which is heaven itself." When we look at this text, we have to ask why David had this as his desire. As he's surrounded by these enemies, why does he say that before anything else, I want to be in Jerusalem in the tabernacle of God? We're going to get later in the second point of the sermon to what he says regarding the purpose, which is to behold the beauty of the Lord. But we have to answer that question of why simply in light of that context that he writes these words in, and in light of what the house of Jehovah is. And there's especially two reasons that this was the desire of David, and this is our desire as well. Number one, David knew that when he was in the house of Jehovah, he was safe. He was delivered from his enemies, and therefore he was at peace in the face of those enemies. Remember where David is and what David is experiencing when he writes these words. He's away from Jerusalem. He's out on the run. He knows that lurking in the fields over there or in the caves over there are enemies. And that's why he says this, "I want to be in God's house because I know if I'm in Jerusalem with the walls around the city, and even more pointedly, if I'm in the tabernacle of God, those enemies can't touch me." There's safety in the house of Jehovah. And beloved, that is why for us this morning, of all of the places in the world that we could be, we want to be here. Because it is here alone, in the truest sense of the word, here alone that we find safety and protection from all of those enemies. Where can you go to find the safety of knowing that the enemy of sin and guilt, if it is not covered, is going to lead me to the destruction of hell itself. It's only here in God's house where the gospel is preached, the gospel that says Christ came to deliver us from our sin and guilt. Where can you go in all of the world to know that the devil who seeks our destruction cannot so much as touch us without the will of our Savior Jesus Christ? It's here in God's house which proclaims the truth that says this, that Christ by His powerful right hand has by the scruff of His neck the devil himself. Where can you go in all of the world when you stare in its face death to know that that last enemy of death does not have the victory? It's here in God's house where the gospel is proclaimed, the gospel that says Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We want to be in God's house because in God's house, as we examine the reality of these enemies that seek our destruction, here, as we believe the word that is preached by faith, we have safety and protection and deliverance. The second reason David wanted to be in the house of God was positive in nature. It's not just because he knew that if he was at the tabernacle of God within the walled city of Jerusalem, those enemies were held at bay, but he wanted to be there because of the essence of what took place in that house of Jehovah. And the essence of that all was fellowship with God. House and Jehovah and dwelling. Those are the words that David uses in the text. And all of them strike the same note. All of them strike the note of the covenant. And the essence of the covenant is fellowship. It's a house. And as we know from all of our homes, what takes place in a home is fellowship and communion. It's the house of Jehovah. Lord, in all capital letters, being Jehovah, the faithful covenant-keeping God in Jesus Christ. David knew that if he was in Jehovah's house, he was with God. And we know that when we are here, we are with God as well. And there's nothing better for us to be doing this morning than to be in the house of God, to fellowship with our God. And that's what we're doing right now. We've sung psalms to Him and we've prayed to Him, pouring out our hearts, praising Him, expressing to Him our needs, worshiping Him. And He speaks to us through the Word as it is read and now through a servant called to do so. Here in God's house, we fellowship with Jehovah. And David knew not only that if he was in God's house, those enemies were at bay, but he knew here he was with his God. But in the end, we know it's not perfect yet. It's not quite perfect. It's real. And I don't want to in any way give the impression that this isn't real. Dwelling with God, enemies at bay as we believe the gospel by faith. But it's not perfect because we're still sinners. We still have a corrupt flesh. We still have to go into the world and be tempted by the world and the devil. We still have to face that enemy of death itself. And so in the end, we know that in the truest sense of the word, we desire to be in the house of God, which is heaven, because there the enemy cannot so much as touch us. There will never be a sinful thought, a sinful inclination, a temptation that strives to lead us away from God. There, in the face of Jesus Christ, we will fellowship with God perfectly. This is our desire this morning. We desire all the days of our life here below as much as possible to be in the house of the Lord, but we desire for eternity to be in the tabernacle of heaven itself. In addition to the reasons that David gives based on the context, he says something explicitly in the verse itself for the purpose of going into the house of Jehovah. And this is profound when we meditate upon this. David wanted to go to the house of the Lord because he knew that he would be able to accomplish this purpose, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. He wanted to behold Jehovah's beauty, and he wanted to meditate upon that beauty. That's one of the ways in which you can understand and translate that word, inquire. He wanted to go into the tabernacle of God to be able to see with his eyes and to dwell upon in his heart and soul the beauty of Jehovah. David did that in the Old Testament in a very literal, physical way. He lived in the time of types and shadows. And so when he would go into the tabernacle of God and the surrounding area of that tabernacle, with his physical eyes, he would be beholding God's beauty. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. And sometimes we lose sight of that with the tabernacle. We're aware of that with the temple. We think of that temple as that beautiful structure overlaid with gold, but that was true even for the tabernacle with David. It was a beautiful structure. When he looked at the tabernacle, he would see God's beauty. When he went to the altar of burnt offering, it would teach him about the beauty of God. When he would see the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the golden candlestick, and especially this, that Ark of the Covenant, he would have set before him, and he would be able to meditate in his heart upon the beauty of Jehovah. Which is to say this very simply, he wanted to be in God's house because he would see the beauty of God as it is revealed in Jesus Christ. The beauty of God is His perfections, His attributes, the wonder of who God is. When he would go to the tabernacle and see with his physical eyes all of those things of which I just said, by faith it would lead him to meditate upon the beauty of God in Christ. Because always, as we peer upon by faith Jesus Christ, we have unfolded for us the beauty of who God is. When he would see that altar of burnt offering, he would know that it pictured the Lamb who was to come, the basis of our fellowship with Jehovah. When he would enter into the tabernacle and see the candlestick and know that it was there, he would see by faith Jesus, who is the light of the world. When he would see the table of showbread, he would know that Jesus is the bread of life. And yes, when he would see the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat on top, he would know that only through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the mercy of God, he has this life with God. Everywhere around him, in everything that he saw, he would see Christ by faith, and in Christ behold the wonder of who God is. And for that reason, we want to be in God's house this morning, because we see Jesus, who is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. For this reason, we want to be in God's house, because when we have set before us, through the gospel as it is preached, Christ, we have unfolded to us, by faith, the beauty of who God is. Consider with me the beauty of Jehovah revealed in Jesus. The beauty of Jehovah revealed in the holiness of Jesus. He was the Son of God who was perfect, and therefore He was the one who truly did and could take upon Himself your sin and my sin and bring that sin to the cross of Calvary. Behold the beauty of Jesus as it is revealed in His love. Greater love hath no man than this, then He lay down His life for His friends. That's the beauty of God revealed in Jesus Christ. He laid down His life for His friends. And it wasn't death as we face death. It wasn't just the ceasing of existence here on this earth. But this is the essence of that love. He went into the depths of hell itself. See the beauty of God revealed in Jesus by His profound love in sending His Savior to this earth. See the beauty of God revealed in the power of Christ. Yes, when we think about God's power, one of the things we can do is behold the expanse of the heavens and the earth. John 1 tells us, by Christ were all things created, but this is an even greater power. Even greater than calling out of existence, out of nothing, everything into existence is this, that Jesus Christ, out of death, calls forth life. That's the beauty of God revealed in Jesus Christ and in His power. Where death could not hold Him, and therefore death does not have the victory over us. Behold the beauty of God revealed in the mercy of Jesus Christ. The mercy of Jesus Christ being that work of Him as our perfect High Priest to lift us up out of our misery, to bring us up when we are down so that we see God and are lifted up in our hearts and our souls. Christ does that as our faithful and merciful High Priest. And yes, behold the beauty of God as it is revealed in the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all grace. Every last ounce of it is grace. Because not one of us sitting here this morning deserves to be here. So that in the face of the enemies that are out there and attacking all men, here we are in the house of God safe. Here we are in the house of God fellowshipping with God. Here we are in the house of God through the preaching of the gospel, which we believe by faith, seeing the wonder of who our God is. None of it is deserved. It's all by grace. And beloved, I could go on and on and on. Every single time we see in the preaching of the gospel Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done, and what He has done is profoundly amazing, we have set before us and we see with the eyes of faith and we meditate in the depths of our hearts upon the beauty and the wonder of our God. Now you understand even more why this was David's desire. And now we understand why this is our desire. All the days of our lives to behold the beauty of Jehovah. We see it right now by faith. We see it right now through the preaching of the gospel. We see it right now through the Scriptures as they are explained and applied by the Spirit in our hearts. One day, we will see it by sight. One day, we will see God in the face of Jesus Christ Himself. One day, we won't need anymore the Scriptures to be explained and proclaimed. Because the Word that was made flesh will be in our very presence. God is faithful. God was faithful to David to bring him into the house of Jehovah. God is faithful to us right now to bring us into His house this morning. God was faithful this past Wednesday evening to grant what was the clear desire of Cody at the end of his life. So that he was delivered into the house of Jehovah. And God will be faithful to you and me and to all of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to bring us into the true house of Jehovah to see, not by faith anymore, but to see by sight Jesus Christ and therefore the beauty of God Himself. One thing have I desired of the Lord, And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy promises and Thy word which is sure, which builds us up and gives us comfort in the face of our enemies, and gives us hope to know that Thou always art faithful to Thy people. We thank Thee for Thy beauty as we are able to see it in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank Thee for Thy beauty and Thy love and Thy grace and Thy mercy to deliver us from sin and bring us into the glory of heaven itself. Be with us now in the remainder of this day. Help us throughout this day to set our mind and our heart upon Thee, our God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.